the mic.
No, yeah, we're on that mic. We're not on the
mic. Okay, Finance Committee members, it's time to meet.
You got the copy of the new script. Now, is that in effect what they're voting on?
Yes.
You're taking a pay to bill for Sally?
Huh?
Yeah.
417 is first.
I have an amendment.
It's fun waiting on your top. Thank you.
Stop the amendment to courthouse.
We're doing it.
Carol, could you tell Royce to come in here?
Yeah.
Okay, members present, Representative Brown, Barnes, Sharp, Boyer, Homer, McLean, Navarre. First bill we have up is House Bill 417. We have an amendment by Representative McLean. Representative McLean?
Yes, I'd like to divide the amendments.
Okay.
And we can start with not the title, but it'll fall off naturally, the title, if there are motions made. After reviewing
417,
Section 1, I will withdraw Section 1.
There are objections to, first of all, the amendment is divisible. Section 1.
And that's lines 7 through 12.
There are objections, but without objection, Representative Sharp.
You want to look at it?
Yeah, I do. I want to get a copy.
I've got to talk till he looks at what okay,
it is. The motion to delete Section 25, which is within Section 21 on page 1. What are you looking at?
Section 25, the entire thing dealing with $85 million. So the motion is to delete the first project.
No, the motion is to withdraw that section from her amendment. Her amendment would have deleted that section.
Okay.
She's taking that, not offering that portion of the amendment.
Okay.
Line 7 through 11, 12?
Right.
Yes.
She wants to withdraw.
What's the number of that bill again?
417.
Which one? Find it in my stack.
Okay.
Is there objection?
Yeah,
without objection?
Okay.
That's withdrawn.
Okay, on page 1, line 13, to page 2, lines 3, it says to delete materials in section 2. I will move that.
Okay, that motion to delete section 2 of the bill.
Not good.
And there is objection. Is there a discussion?
As soon as I find it.
Would anyone like further discussion of the
this
project?
One, okay, this one is for the acquisition, design, and construction of public-use aircraft fueling facilities located at Anchorage International Airport to be owned by the authority. The principal amount of the funds may not exceed $40 million. This section grants the legislative approval required by Alaska Statute 2488-095. And to me, this is a competitive. It takes away the competition. I don't think that it's a good section, so I will move to delete this section.
Representative Brown.
417.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what competition is affected by it, but I know that there is a real need to do this. The environmental problems that have come up at the airport as a result of the fueling facilities that are there now need to be addressed. The fuel is leaking into the nearby lake, Floatplane Lake, and I think this is a needed amendment or needed authorization to do this fueling. And I'd ask the representatives from ADA, is there any competition involved here with private industry that somebody else might do this if the state did not?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, this is not a competitive facility. This would authorize the replacement of the existing facility. And as I think was explained yesterday, the people who buy fuel, the airlines that buy fuel, through the services of the fueling consortium, can buy the fuel from any supplier that they choose. And the consortium is required to pump that fuel through these public, these are really public facilities. And the consortium is a group, a consortium of private companies. But I can find no competitive aspects of the fueling consortium. It just doesn't, it isn't that kind of a facility. Nobody else wants to build a competitive facility side by side what amounts to for the airport itself, a utility, as it were.
Okay. Okay. Further discussion. Representative Sharp.
I'd like to find out what's the existing tankage capacity and what is the proposed tankage capacity and how far away are the existing facilities from the proposed facilities?
We don't have any of that information yet, Representative Sharp. The designs have not been completed. The issue was initiated because the existing facilities are environmentally hazardous and must be replaced. And the final working drawings are not in existence. The analysis of the needs are not yet finished. The project is in an extremely preliminary stage, which is common to most of the authorizations for which we ask legislative approval.
Well, I understood that you're talking that the preliminary discussion was that the tankage was going to be more than doubled from the present capacity, was what the conversation was, and possibly moving some of the existing tankage over on top of that to result in more than doubling. And I was wondering what kind of justification that is with the lesser use for fuel and demand of projected decreases.
I can't answer that except to refer to what I've seen as estimates that with Anchorage becoming increasingly an air cargo transshipment center, that the need is anticipated. I might also point out further that the bonds that we issue under this program will be revenue bonds, which won't even become general obligation bonds of the authority, much less the state. They will be paid for out of the revenues of the facility, and the consortium itself will have to justify its capacity and its facility to the people who are going to buy those bonds.
Mr. Chairman, are you saying then that you would not build it without a take-or-pay contract from the users?
Effectively, yes, sir. It's not a take-or-pay contract, but the bonds will be payable only out of the revenues from the project.
But if airlines would pull out, where does that leave?
The consortium would still be obligated.
But isn't the consortium made up of the users?
Yes, that's true.
So are the airlines going to be, co-signers, besides the consortium association?
Effectively. That's my understanding.
Further questions? Discussion on the amendment? Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Boyer?
Pass.
Representative Barnes?
No.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Jackal? Representative Kulpinen?
Pass.
No.
Representative Larson?
No.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Sharp?
Pass.
Representative Navar?
No.
Representative McClain?
Yes.
Representative Ulmer? Representative Jackal? Larson?
Boyer.
Oh, you get to vote twice?
No.
Representative Kopenin?
Yes.
Well, you're on the right track.
Yeah, I would like to whip these Fairbanks guys.
I vote no.
This one didn't matter.
The next portion of the amendment is to delete Section 4. Section 4 is the motion failed. Next section is to delete Section 4. bonding for the Ketchikan Shipyard facility to be owned by the authority. And Representative Brown.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, does the state own this shipyard now?
Yes, the shipyard is presently owned by DOT. It was built by DOT and is owned by DOT.
Tomorrow you're going to need a wheelchair.
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman, I neglected to state my name and title. I'm Bill Scott, the Executive Director of ADA.
I'll move the amendment.
Object.
Amendment has been moved. There is objection. I guess I want to ask a couple of questions about this, and that is that, is this contingent upon ADA being given the facility?
Mr. Chairman, yes. We would not undertake the project absent ownership of the facilities to protect our investment interest.
So, on that point, I am going to be offering an amendment which deals with that subject when we have completed work on the pending amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I might also add to that, however, that in the event or after ADA's investment has been recovered, ADA has no further interest in owning the facility, and we will, and already have had negotiations with DOT, in effect, assuring them an option to reacquire the property. All of those conditions have not been negotiated yet, but will be in good faith.
So, I guess I'm not sure I can follow this. If you build revenue bonds,
you're going to need a wheelchair.
So that the bonds would be paid off by whoever we get to operate the facility?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the bonds would be paid off from revenues. That's correct.
Okay, when they're paid off from the revenue bonds, who owns the improvements?
At that moment, Mr. Chairman, ADA would own the improvements, but DOT would have, we will negotiate an agreement with them, which we don't have yet because none of the conditions precedent have yet occurred. But we are willing, certainly, to give them any agreement that assures DOT of recovering ownership of the facility. We are, after all, trying to save the utility of this asset of the state's. You have about $30 million in it. What we're trying to do is to save the utility of that asset for the state and especially the ferry system.
Is there further discussion or question? Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Barnes?
This is the deleting amendment, correct?
Right. Yes.
No. Delete section 4.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Kopanen?
Yes.
Representative Larson?
I have to pass.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Sharp?
No.
Representative Ulmer?
No.
Representative Boyer?
No.
Representative McClain?
Yes.
Representative Navarre?
Yes.
Representative Larson?
Mr. Chairman, I'm really sorry. What amendment was it?
Delete section 4, the Ketchikan Shipyard.
No.
3A, 7A.
Motion fails. Further amendments. Representative Sharp.
Mr. Chairman, I would move whatever amendment number that is. 3, I guess it's the third amendment. What it would do, it's amendments to Section 2. Clarifies that if they do, in fact, construct a new tankage facility of any distance from the existing one, they would also include in the project extension of the consortium port pipeline to the new fuel storage facilities, allowing everybody that presently has access to deliver fuel there the same access. And the second, on page 2, line 2, would make it very clear that no other fuel transmission line may be financed or constructed under this authorization.
I guess I need to know what this would accomplish.
Presently, the fuel transmission line to those facilities for providing the fuel comes from the port, where everybody has facilities presently and can compete over the same pipeline for delivery. So if they didn't extend that pipeline from the old tankage to the new tankage, it would render that pipeline fairly useless or would require further financing by the consortium to do that. I think that should be part of the project. If they're going to move the tankage, they should extend for whatever distance, and they don't know how much distance is going to be involved here, so it could be considerable. And I think that would be something to include in the project definition so that we wouldn't have the tankage there without continuing the access by all suppliers for sales.
So would it say that you have to build the pipelines from the existing facilities over to the new facility, or just make sure that they build a pipeline that allows everybody to access the new facility?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't think there'd be any other way to access a new facility by pipeline without extending the existing one, because the existing one covers quite a few miles from the port throughout the airport. So I would assume the extension of that would be the way to provide for delivery to accommodate the existing pipeline facility up to the airport and then extend it with this project to wherever the new tankage may be. Maybe it's not going to be that far away, but this time they don't know. I'd hate to see us get into more inefficient delivery system like tank cars or trucks to get into there. I think the most efficient way now is the pipeline, as recognized by past experience. And the headers available, or whatever you want to call them, down at the port allows every supplier to participate in supplying the fuel if they're competitive.
I don't think I have any problem with it. I just don't want to create a problem that says they have to do this when there may be some other way that they decide needs to be.
I guess I'd ask them if they know of any other more efficient way to allow all suppliers in the state access to that tankage on an equal basis, a more cost-efficient way.
Mr. Chairman, President Sharp, it's a question I can't answer. We don't have enough of the final design work to be able to even comment on it. The one thing I would observe, however, is that one of the reasons for redoing the system is that the existing line from the port to the airport is in such terrible shape that there are serious environmental concerns. Whether it's effective or desirable to replace that line, which I think your amendment would suggest, whether that's economic or efficient, I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I hesitate to give authority to build thousands of gallon barrels of tankage to which access by all suppliers on a competitive basis would be allowed or guaranteed, and I guess I ask him, how else could you assure that?
Mr. Chairman, it's a sort of an unanswerable question, Representative Sharp. I don't know the answer.
How about if you put including a consortium port pipeline so that it doesn't say you have to extend the existing one in case there's problems with it. And you can just build a new one if they have to. I don't know who ought to be building it, whether the people who are supplying it ought to be building it or the new fuel facility ought to be building it.
I guess what triggered this, Mr. Chairman, is yesterday his answer was that included in this project was building a transmission fuel pipeline to the Nikiski pipeline. And that bothers me. That allows a sole source supplier, and it abandons the competitive edge of everyone else that's presently involved in supplying the fuel. So I don't want it one way. I don't mind it being both ways, but I don't want to guarantee it could come up tails and everyone loses except one supplier. Because otherwise, the rest of them have to handle it two or three times, and obviously, they're not going to be competitive.
Representative Brown?
I see what Representative Sharp is trying to achieve, and one observation I have is it seems like it's permissive anyway, so right. I'm not sure that your amendment does what you're hoping to achieve, and may, because it says at the beginning of the sentence, the ADA may issue bonds to finance. And I would say they might issue bonds to finance part or all of that. But what if we had, instead of that inclusion, a sentence that said all suppliers shall have access to the facilities on a competitive basis and leave it up to ADA and the people putting this together as to figure out how is the best way to ensure access?
She's shaking her head no.
That's a suggestion.
All suppliers would have access for delivery
to the,
over this. Over a common facility. How about that?
Mm-hmm. See any?
You know, I think maybe we ought to have more information on this. I mean, I don't know who supplies how much of the fuel. It might, in fact, make. I mean, if they. And I don't know. I don't know whether the Nikiski refinery refines most of the jet fuel or aircraft fuel or what the differences are from the different refineries. Without knowing that, saying that you're going to build a consortium port pipeline that may, in fact, be a competitive disadvantage to another refinery.
Yeah, that's what I want to make sure of, Mr. Chairman. My information, which is just information, is that current consortium pipeline allows for utilization by every supplier in the state because of a series of spaghetti headers down on the port. Everybody can deliver out of their tanks. And so, or by rail, whichever they choose to do. Pipeline is obviously the most efficient, cheapest way to do it. I just want to make sure that continues to be the case.
Is there currently a Nikiski pipeline?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chairman, there is. Yes, there is.
So does it go into the consortium port pipeline and then back to the fuel facility, or does it go right into the facility? And
Mr. Chairman, I'm not certain because I'm not familiar with the physical attributes of this project. My deputy director of development had to go back to Anchorage last night. I'm trying to get him on the phone so that he could be patched in. I believe he could answer those questions. I just am not able to.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that they deliver into the tank for their tank farm in the port and use the consortium pipeline for delivery to the airport. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
I would move to amend the amendment to delete the first portion of it and substitute instead all suppliers shall have access to the fueling facilities on a competitive basis.
I have a little problem with that in the fact that a competitive basis, I don't know how you define that. If you would say on a competitive basis on a common transmission facility, then it leaves them free to build a brand new line, extend it, whatever they want to do.
Through a common...
Common transmission, fuel transmission facility.
I'll withdraw my suggestion.
Okay. What did Representative Brown say?
I said I'll withdraw my suggestion.
I would amend my amendment to the state that the first portion on page 2, line 1 would say, including assuring the use the common use of a transmission delivery system by all suppliers to the new fuels.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
Well, just structurally, it seems like that doesn't work, because what we're doing is we're saying ADA may issue bonds to finance and then including assuring something. It just doesn't seem structurally. I'm suggesting that should be a separate sentence that says whatever it is we want to say there. The ADA shall assure whatever you just said as a separate sentence.
After authority on the second line?
Right.
Mr. Chairman, we have no problem with that.
I appreciate that. I don't have any problem with that. I just don't know what the impact of this amendment is. That's my only problem. I understand what the intent is, that you want to leave it the status quo so everybody competes the way they are now. I don't have any problem with that. This might, in fact, do the opposite.
Basically, the sentence would say, if a transmission, fuel transmission pipeline is built under this authorization, it shall be available for common use by all suppliers in the state.
Okay. Sounds like a good intent.
Do I hear a letter of intent?
If a fuel transmission pipeline is built under this authorization,
yeah,
it shall
provide access by all fuel suppliers.
Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little confused on this, but I'm wondering if the same thing, Representative Sharp, couldn't be done with a letter of intent, because it is a bit confusing to me. I think I know where you're coming from.
When I'm talking $40 million, I got a problem with a letter of intent.
Well.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the amendment that I plan to offer, if you take a look at it, says that the approval is contingent upon something in the case of the Ketchikan Shipyard. Maybe, Bert, you can handle it that way by saying this approval is contingent upon the facility being made available, blah, blah, blah.
That's a marine power system.
Representative Sharp, I think a way you might want to handle it is an amendment that says this approval is contingent upon the ADA board entering into an agreement that says it will be available, or the board making it available, or blah, blah, whatever you want to fill in. But I think that's how you go further than a letter of intent. You condition the approval upon the making it available to everyone.
And you're saying we wouldn't have to build it into the section?
Oh, you have to say it, all right. Yeah, you do have to say it, but it's, I think that's the way you structure the sentence.
Yeah, and that's the purpose I'm shooting for, to make sure that we don't have a $40 million facility that could be preferential to one supplier or several suppliers over all suppliers.
Okay. Well, if ADA doesn't have a problem with it, why don't you make a conceptual amendment, have the draft do it in the context of a contingency like that, and that does it, I think.
Representative Brown has the verbiage that Representative Sharp used, and just to have that in the context too, Representative Brown, would you read that?
Okay. If a fuel transmission pipeline is built under this authorization, it shall provide access to all fuel suppliers.
That is your contingent language.
And you would just insert that on line 2 after the word authority.
Conceptual amendment to the
conceptual amendment to
fix it.
Is there objection to that concept being returned to us in a draft form, in final draft?
As long as we specify that it is accessible from a common point. Yeah, I don't want it made accessible somewhere that's 5 miles away from the present facilities.
Yeah. Right, double handling.
Yeah. But I think we can work it out conceptually. No problem.
I think we're going to be here sufficient amount of time that what the chair would prefer is to have a redraft of this. We'll just hold this amendment, but let's see the language. It's sufficiently complex, and the dollars are sufficiently important as to have the actual language. So if we can just have Representative Sharp's staff will fine-tune this for us, but we'll get back to that.
Thank you.
Can I amend it up now?
I think
the second part of the amendment.
We're holding the hold amendment, yes. Representative Ballmer, I think your amendment is next.
It would clarify in Section 4 that the Ketchikan Shipyard facility is contingent upon the transfer, and that the transfer is done according to a mutually agreed. So it would read, this approval is contingent upon the transfer of the shipyard facility according to terms which are mutually agreeable to the Ada Board and the Director of the Alaska Marine Highway System.
Fine.
So I move that.
Discussion? Is there any objection to the language? Without objection, so ordered then. Are there additional amendments, Representative Barnes?
It's been passed out and it has Chenoweth on it, to the Barnes. What this amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is in the title, it changes it from after authority. It inserts and of the Alaska State Housing Authority, and it allows for the bonding to be done through the Alaska State Housing Authority for the Anchorage Courthouse, contingent upon there not being funds available in the capital budget to build the Anchorage Courthouse or some portion thereof. And in case there was some question about amending the title, we're speaking about revenue bonds in both instances, so I feel it is appropriate to use this legislation to do this. And I've asked Mr. Chenoweth to come and testify on the amendment.
I actually see the title.
Yes.
I think we can hold on that for a second. I think it probably is germane. I mean, it's clearly the same subject matter. It's in our body, and we can clearly change the title. As a general question to the members, though, is this the kind of venture we want to embark upon? I think that if it is, there are at least several other items that ought to be considered that are pending before the legislature. I fully appreciate the backstop. Yes, I think I was trying to get some discussion. But,
okay, can we just have an at ease before we do that?
Sure.
State-funded goddamn project. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Do members have questions of Mr. Chenoweth?
I just asked Mr. Chenoweth to come to explain that this would fit under the title of this bill.
Just for the record, Mr. Chenoweth.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jack Chenoweth. I'm with the Legal Services Division. The question came to me about whether the amendment adding the State Housing Authority and the courthouse project into this bill would violate the single subject requirements of the state constitution. My response to that is no. The common element of this is that it's an act relating to public corporations and financing of projects in public corporations. There should be no problem with
either the language that Representative Sharp had proposed or the language that's been proposed by Representative Barnes?
Right. The amendment from Representative Sharp has to do with an ADA project. That's already covered. The concern here was that we were going to a different agency, a different public corporation. It still will take it.
Any further questions of Mr. Chenoweth at this time? Not. Thank you, Jack. Representative Barnes, we have some additional discussion of the overall scope of the project, and remind us of last year, I think it was last year's appropriation, and what the additional authority will provide at this point.
Thank you, Representative Boyd. Representative Boyd, you know that the discussion of this courthouse has been ongoing since about 1980. And remembering from the remarks of the director of the court system when he was last before us, that in the early 80s we did appropriate $10 million for the design and the buying of land, clearing, etc., to build the courthouse, and the courthouse at that time was to have been about an $87 million project. And through the years, we have continued to try to build this courthouse. The reason for that is not that we just want to build a new courthouse, but when we had the earthquake, it did extensive structural damage to this old district court building. And there are two existing engineer reports that say that a small earthquake could bring this building down on all the inhabitants therein, and it is used around the clock 24 hours a day. And it is something that has to be taken care of.
Yeah.
There is no other place to move the people that are in this court building because it is a court. It requires a unique type of building. So I am concerned that we won't have $40 million in cash available to us this year or in the near future to build this building. So the thrust here is to build it with that portion which we cannot sustain out of cash appropriation through revenue bonds. Asher can own it and issue the revenue bonds to build it. We all know those are tax-exempt bonds. What this does is a scale down of the recommended $87 million facility in the early 80s to just the old district court building, and that's that then would allow for the district court demolition, parking, lot paving, and landscaping, and about 136,600 square foot addition to the building, which would just take care of the existing need replacing the old district court building. It would not be any of the other upgrades that was wished for in the early 80s, because we now know that that's not feasible at this time. I hope that answers your question. If you have any others, I'd be glad to try to answer.
Representative Kopanen.
Looking at the long-term cost, do you have any figures on the lease purchase cost over time, for how long it would run? Let somebody run the number up.
I don't have those available. All I know is it's much cheaper to pay cash, which we all know we don't have the whole $40 million now. Knowing that, I don't think that the cost of revenue bonds is going to get any cheaper than they might be at this time, at least. And so while I would prefer not to go this direction, it seems the only option open, because I have all these years been very concerned about another small earthquake in that area and the damage to the lives that it could cause.
Are there further questions before we move this bill from committee?
Have we already asked the drafter?
Yes.
And he said
That it's germane to broaden the title, that it's germane under this.
Okay.
And we were just entertaining questions.
And I hope to have answered your questions.
Answered all my questions.
Question.
There further discussion.
Just general, Mr.
Representative
Poyer. I just note that it is a very artificial distinction that we make in this particular case with regard to a general obligation bond